Hi Dave, welcome to the show and thanks for taking some time out of your busy schedule to talk to us today. Recently we've noticed a lot of people talking about what a wonderful sound card the Sound Blaster Live is for musicians, and of course we're thrilled about that. But we've also designed the Sound Blaster Live to be the ultimate gamer's card. And with good 3D audio being so important to gamers today, can you tell us a little bit about the 3D audio support in the Sound Blaster Live?
Yeah, the design of the 10K1 chip and the card was very much designed around doing 3D audio. Now, I sort of know where that question's coming from, that there is 3D positional audio, and Oreal in particular comes from Scott Foster and his team at Crystal River, who are old friends of mine from way back. They came out of the research area understanding how people heard 3D audio. And so the tradition of Oreal has been along those lines of being able to very accurately reproduce through head-related transfer functions a isolated sound, along the same lines of the anechoic chamber experiments where people started learning about HRTFs and things like that. And whereas Emu has always been a production company, I think that's maybe why people say it's a musician's card, is because our interpretation of 3D audio is that 3D audio is not taken in isolation. It has to be in an environment. This is why we've called it environmental audio. But if you look at the elements that are actually present in the 10K1, we have got filtering models, HRTFs, we have got time delays, we've got not only the environment, but things like occlusion and obstructions, at least those are coming in the next revision. So there is an awful lot of 3D audio, and the entire card was engineered to be able to support more and more. As you may know, we put in the 10K1 a programmable engine, and the whole idea there was that because the standards we knew were going to be evolving for games coming forward, we wanted to be able to add technology as the standards move forward. And also, we have a certain amount of research going on at the tech center, and as that research yields fruit in terms of things that we can actually put into the card, the programmable engine lets us improve these sorts of things.
You mentioned EAX, or the Environmental Audio Extensions to Direct Sound 3D. Is the EAX API only for reverb?
No. A lot of people will say that at first because that's the most striking feature of our implementation of EAX. EAX, as you know, stands for Environmental Audio Extensions, and the revolutionary idea there was that we would put the environment out there. To clarify something, EAX is an API. In other words, EAX is a standard way of communicating from the program into the 3D audio hardware. And as such, EAX describes the environment. It doesn't even say anything about that there is a reverb or there is occlusion and obstruction and signal processing and so on. It instead allows the program to communicate the environment that it's in, the potential occlusion and obstructions that are occurring, and other information about the environment. It says nothing about what the processor is then going to do with that. Now, of course, ideally, if you're in an environment, you do hear reverberation, so reverberation is always going to be a central part of any good implementation of EAX. But so is positional 3D audio, so are various other models. The answer to your question, then, is the implementation of EAX that's currently shipping with SB Live has reverberation, it has interaural time delay, and there's quite a bit of other technology, things like crosstalk canceling for the speakers and things like that, all of which are in the current implementation. So, yes, there is an awful lot more than reverb, including the stuff that traditionally thought of as 3D positional audio.
Well, let's talk about reverb. Some people are saying that Creative's reverbs are nothing more than simple presets. Any comments?
In thinking about the question, when somebody reduces something to a simple thing, I mean, you could say that a Pentium 200 is nothing but a simple Turing machine. And in the sense that, it's a finite state machine, that's exactly what it is. The fact that it runs at 450 megahertz and can have these very, very complex states is just shows the degree to which you can take a simple idea and move it into a very complex thing. In a way, you can say that EAX and the implementation of Sound Blaster Live are sort of the same thing, that we've taken what's a fairly simple idea in concept, which is when you move from one environment to another, you can name it, and made that into a very sophisticated thing. That the people who notice the presets and say that, you know, that's all it is, what they're not seeing is that the simplest way to communicate what environment you're in is by giving it a name. And in contrast to A3D 2.0, where the description of the environment is a geometrical model, by giving a verbal description, we're making a handle that not only is simpler to deal with, also can include elements of fantasy and non-reality, which I think is very important in games and almost any kind of production, that you can make it magic rather than simply being physical. Now, you said nothing but simple presets. Nothing about this idea of preset is then simple going forward, that once we've come up with an imaginative name for the environment, we also give, through the interface, the API of VAX, we give parameters so that this environment, once you've named it, can be customized in some way. And then we also have a lot of other things going on in addition to the DirectSound 3D positional audio that we support. We've also got things like sophisticated distance models, so that you can vary the reverberation and the spectrum and all of this with the motion of the viewer within the environment and so on. So there's a lot more happening than simply flipping a switch on a reverb module when you go into a new environment. And even the environment you go into can be a lot more sophisticated than a preset. But when you go to explain it to somebody for the first time by simply saying, yeah, it's a simple preset environment, you've walked into a new room, it's a wonderful model that we can all relate to. And so I think in a way it's enticingly simple, but as you get into technology of it, there's a tremendous amount of depth as well.
And by referring to these reverbs as presets, we've made it very attractive to game developers.
Yeah, that's the other thing, is that as we first introduced EAX, getting early adopters is very important. And in the games industry, more often than not, sound tends to be a little bit of an afterthought. So being able to come in with something that they could get an awful lot of results from a very simple idea of just naming the environments that they were going into meant that we could get a lot of early adopters. Now, once they saw the results they were getting from that and could imagine going on from there, we've now got quite a few of our developers using the more sophisticated features of the API and coming up with custom things. But again, simplicity is a great way to get in the door and to be setting a standard that's been very broadly adopted.
Dave, you spoke a bit about the future versions of EAX. Now, I've been amazed at how many different effects the Sound Blaster Live can produce. Effects like flangers, echoes, pitch shifters, and distortion. Do you see game developers taking more and more advantage of these features of the 10K1 chip in the future? I know I do.
I sure hope so. Wandering around the tech center and hearing the kind of effects that the engineers are just playing with 10K1 effects engine, and I suspect only a small percentage of the ones that I get to hear just walking through, going from one meeting to another, have actually made it out into the EMU APS as musical effects. I think everybody at the tech center is really excited about the idea of being able to put these things in Sound Blaster Live in the form of EAX. The way we'll do that, going back to this idea of presets, if you've got a name on it, it doesn't have to just be existing technology. We can come up with a new name and have new technology. So that's one way that I can see that we'll get the effects out there. So the thing that I can say for certain is there's a tremendous drive from the tech center to put these things into SB Live. And, I can't ever give specific dates or times because, you know, chief scientists never know when the research is going to hit the field. But I can just tell you that there's an awful lot of excitement and pressure from the engineers to get these to the outside users. So I think the people can look forward to it happening.
I've also noticed recently that while people are enjoying 3D audio today, they're always asking for more and better. And as the Sound Blaster Live is a living product, can we really give them more and better 3D audio?
Oh, very much so. I know there's work being done as we speak. I've seen a couple of different internal revisions of the ability to do 3D audio. What's happening is that as the engineers, you give them a new engine like the 10K1 effects engine, and they have to learn the instruction set, and they have to discover the efficient ways of doing things and so on. We've expected all along, and I think anytime you put in a programmable engine, you can expect things to be continuously improving, and I think users can be looking forward to a significant step up in 3D audio in the very near future.
That's great. Thanks again, Dave.